For March 24th, 2016, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's the Lullabot Podcast, episode 183. I'm Matt Cleave, a senior developer with Lullabot. With me, I have Mike Herschel. Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Mike, you're in Gainesville. I'm in Pensacola, Florida. So I think the whole southwestern United States might be taking over this podcast a little bit.
Southeastern, you mean?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. making sure.
Somebody's got to keep me honest, at least. That's good. Southeastern United States definitely taking over. We're talking DrupalCon New Orleans.
Woo! Yay. Are you going to New Orleans, Matt?
I am. It's like a home game for me. It's like 3 hours down the road. So, yeah. Absolutely. Cool. How much fun is that going to be?
It's going to be a lot of fun. I heard they get fun there.
What was your first DrupalCon, Mike?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Awesome. That was mine, too.
Oh, cool.
How come we didn't meet there?
We might have.
Oh, that's true.
I honestly, there's parts of it I don't remember.
Well, with us today, we've got a few people to talk about DrupalCon New Orleans and the planning and the upcoming, all the work that's going on right now going into making DrupalCon New Orleans a thing. So, yep. First of all, we'll introduce, we have the events manager at the Drupal Association from Portland, Oregon. We have Rachel Friesen. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, guys.
On a little, I've got a bullet point here that says kickball.
Yeah, so you play kickball in the summer, so that's accurate.
So I put that bullet point in here because I play kickball.
Oh, nice.
So we could have a kickball off at some point.
We should get an impromptu kickball game started at DrupalCon New Orleans. That'd be great.
That would be awesome.
Nice.
So, secondly, we have Amanda Gonzer. Let's see if I pronounced that properly.
Close.
It always happens.
She is a DrupalCon coordinator at the Drupal Association, works with amazing volunteers for con content and programming, and happened to live in the Basque Country for 5 years until moving to Portland. Welcome.
Thanks.
Along with us, we also have Tina Kraus, who's the DrupalCon coordinator with the Drupal Association. We have three Drupal Association people with us today. How cool is that? She does customer support with the Contact Us form, deals with registration and production things. Hi, Tina.
Hey, everyone.
Glad to have you with us.
Yep, and I put in the Contact Us form there, so if any listeners want to say hi, you can use the Contact Us form on the website. Is that correct?
I'm sure Tina would love that.
And now I forget. At least a billion contacts.
Say hi to Tina.
We'll have all seven of our listeners do that.
Looking forward to all seven of them.
Yeah. Nice. And like five of them are on the podcast. And we also have some natives of New Orleans to tell us about it. We got Eric Schmidt, who puts the fun in funeral, which if you so when DrupalCon New Orleans was being announced out in Los Angeles, he got on stage and said that, and I thought it was about the funniest thing ever. So he is with Evan Schmidt Design from New Orleans, as I said, and he's been attending DrupalCons since 2009 in D.C., and he is schmuck on Drupal.org.
Yes, hello. How are you? I'm here. Very excited about New Orleans getting DrupalCon.
Awesome.
Great. And along sitting next to Eric, we have Sabrina Schmidt, who's also from New Orleans. She tells us she likes to take long walks in the French Quarter and watch the people, or there's lots of good people watching going on there, I'm told. She's a designer extraordinaire known as Yoga Bean on Drupal.org. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi. How is everybody?
Fantastic.
We are not in New Orleans, so probably not as good as you, right?
It's very warm here today, so it's fantastic. The sun is shining.
Great.
Winter is behind us.
So let's just kick it off. Let's just get going here and kick right into it from the Drupal Association's perspective. As far as planning and organizing DrupalCon, what's happening right now?
Right now we're putting together a lot of details that come together on site. So one of the big things that we're working on over the next couple weeks is finalizing our program guide and signage, also our plan for like on-site branding for around the convention center, things to like really kind of make the con come to life. So it's all about finalizing details at this point.
And just recently, I got the rejection letter saying my session wasn't selected.
So
that's something else that happened, right? Session selection. right? Got all done.
Yeah, so we just finished session selection a few days ago. So right now what's keeping me up at night is the schedule, because that'll be coming out pretty soon. So it's always a fun one to place 130 sessions with people flying from around the world and making sure that people can still go to their daughter's dance recitals and can still present in the afternoon so they don't have a hangover, things like that. So it's a little puzzle.
130 sessions, is that that's the real number? Honest to goodness?
Yep, that's the real number. So out of the 767 that were proposed, we could only pick 130 sessions.
That's a lot of Drupal going on in just a few days.
It is. It's a very Drupal-filled conference at the DrupalCon.
Exciting.
So how are sessions selected? I know that there's volunteers. How are the volunteers selected? What's the whole process for this?
Yeah, so the Drupal Association has been working with DrupalCon for quite a few years now, and there's sort of this team of what we call global. So people have helped select sessions for DrupalCons in past years, and we pair them up with someone who's more from the local area or the local time zone. And these people are suggested through community leaders or from past globals who think that knowing how much work goes into it, they would maybe recommend or suggest someone that would be a good addition to the team and has really good pulse on what's happening in the Drupal world and their specialty, like front-end or UX. So once all of those suggestions come to me, they get passed through other people at the association as well, I set up interviews and I speak with them and I kind of forewarn them that as glamorous as it is definitely a lot of work because you can imagine reading that many sessions and reaching out to all those different speakers, it's definitely something that you have to want to do it. So once those volunteers are selected, we work months and months before the con to set the track descriptions so we know what is going to be happening in each track and what kind of sessions they're looking for. And there's a lot of promotion going on. They write blogs, they reach out to industry leaders. And so once the call for papers actually closes and all of the hundreds of sessions come in at the last second, because that's very Drupal, they read through all of those, and each track kind of has their own selection criteria. A lot of them do look at speaker experience and the prompt that was written that describes the session, but a lot of them really, it's a lot of work to determine of all the sessions that they get, which one would be best received at DrupalCon. So some of them rank by topic. Like I know that the business track this year has kind of broken out their talks into different topics. Some of them kind of put together a story of like coding and development. Like the first session you might need to see to better understand the third session. So really it's kind of about telling a story and sharing all of that Drupal knowledge in only about 13 sessions per track.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of different sessions. So let me understand this correctly. The selection criteria is different per track, or is there like any type of formalized stuff, or is it just kind of, I don't know, best practices or volunteers' guts, or how, I mean, is there anything formalized on that?
There's nothing completely formalized. I mean, it really, even if you have an amazing description or an amazing proposal, it could be that there's someone else who has a better proposal. And so, I mean, there's no way that you can just do a like non-look at the speaker sort of ranking and just do it blind. We don't do that. We definitely incorporate speaker experience or someone's experience and expertise on the topic. That definitely plays a big role in as well. And we also want to make sure that we account for diversity and different topics and making sure that we're not completely on the island. We like to make sure we get some other voices included in the programming as well.
It's a competitive thing, being able to get your session selected for DrupalCon, which is good for everyone, all of the attendees, right? Because that makes sessions that much better, makes the conference that much better.
Definitely. And so like we want to make sure we are offering new things that are happening and exciting things. You want to learn about it at DrupalCon. So we're always looking for really cool new session that's happening where people are going to leave the session and be like, man, that was awesome. Like that's the feedback that we get in some of our most highest rated sessions after DrupalCon is at the end of the session, you walk out and you want to go look at your site again, or you want to rewrite something, but something that really inspires you. So we're always looking for sessions that do that.
Cool.
So we're going to New Orleans for North America this year, which is exciting, I'm sure, to Eric and Sabrina on the call.
Yes.
it's a great city. It'll be a great place. What goes into actually selecting that location? How does that work?
Yeah, the city selection process, it takes about 6 months from start to finish. Yeah, it's not a quick process. And it's kind of there's a few different steps to it. You know, initially what we do is we release our event needs in an RFP, and we invite cities to bid on it. So we do a lot of outreach and pushing to different cities, asking them to bid on the event.
Like to the convention and visitors bureau or something of each of the cities, like trying to get the cities actually saying, yes, I want DrupalCon.
Exactly. So it's usually a partnership between the city's convention or the tourism board and then the convention center staff. And in each city, it's set up differently as to like who's the lead on submitting the bid. So we get a lot of bids in initially that kind of have some high-level budget numbers, so we can compare things at a really high level. So like, what's the average cup of a gallon of coffee or of a box lunch or things like that? And after that, we can kind of weed out some people that may, some cities that may be just like way too expensive on one thing or another thing, or maybe you know, they just don't have the actual number of breakout rooms that we need for all of our different sessions and BOFs. And at that point, we as a team meet and evaluate the different cities and see which ones we think are good candidates. And then we go through a round of interviews with the cities where we do a video call and have them tell us about their city. And then the next step is really going and checking out the cities. So we travel to between 2 and 4 candidate cities and check out the facilities, tour hotels, look for special event venues, and meet with various vendors to start getting more formalized quotes. Mm-hmm. Because really the process is figuring out, is this city a good fit for our event in terms of, is our audience going to want to go there? Are there attendees? Is there a big Drupal community there? And then also financially, you know, can we afford to do the DrupalCon there? So there's a ton of different financial aspects that we look at too, from, you know, the catering costs to the cost of the venue to the hotel costs. Are people going to be able to afford to stay in the city?
Traditionally, DrupalCon has moved around. So, you know, Boston, D.C., L.A., Denver, Austin, Portland, Chicago. I've named a few.
Yeah.
So geographically, you know, we're kind of spacing it all. I mean, is that the intention still to plan for the future?
Yeah, you know, we're finalizing contracts and looking at cities for the next couple of years. And the intention is still to keep moving around. So that's really exciting. It's nice to be able to get to showcase different local Drupal communities and get to bring our event to different parts of the states, really.
So as far as what's going on in the planning process and the getting things ready to go for DrupalCon, what's the biggest pain point that nobody probably knows anything about except for you guys? So when the Drupal community shows up, what's something that nobody probably ever thought about that's really kind of a pain in this whole planning and putting on a conference process?
Yeah, you know, one of the really cool things about DrupalCon is how much it's grown over the years. So the community has grown, the size of the conference has grown. You know, I think we're about 3,200 people in DrupalCon Los Angeles. And so I think one of the hardest things for us is kind of balancing everyone's expectations and needs. So we have everyone from, you know, very polished business executives to hobbyists who are just dabbling or just beginning to learn Drupal. And so the cool thing about DrupalCon is there really is content for all types, really. And so it's one of our biggest challenges is making sure that people connect with the experience that they want to have and that they find their tribe when they're there at the on-site. You know, that's one of the fun aspects of going to your first DrupalCon is seeing like, oh, there's all these people just like me. I found my team. So that's one of the things that's kind of difficult is making sure that we're kind of hitting the mark on you know, the kind of portfolio of attendees.
So how do you do that?
Well, I think that's something that we're looking at, like, shaping a little bit more going forward. You know, truthfully, like, the cons have been growing so quickly that a lot of the work up till this point has been just trying to keep up. And we're at a point now where we have better insights into, like, what our demographics are for the event and also, like, which sessions are becoming really popular, what are the tracks that we're getting tons of sessions submitted to. So we're able to look at those things and shape it a little bit better. As far as programming goes. And I think one of the things that we're looking to be more deliberate about in the next couple years is really like helping people connect with that experience before they arrive on site. So if you're a first-time attendee and you're kind of an intermediate site builder, helping those people find the right sessions or BOFs or the other mentors and peers on site that they want to connect with.
Rachel, you mentioned the growth of DrupalCon, and I'm going to ask about this, even though it may sound like I'm trying to be a little mean here, but I'm not. So DrupalCon San Francisco, as I remember, was in that 3,000 range as well.
I think that's right.
Has DrupalCon really seen a good amount of growth, or was it just that the tech community in San Francisco was interested at the time and there was some attendees from there, or is there growth, and how do we build more growth?
Yeah, I think that's something that we think about a lot as a team. I mean, that's something that I think about a lot. It's one thing actually that comes into play when we're looking at our site selection process is this an area where we think people are going to be able to easily access the conference? And like, for instance, one thing we heard with Los Angeles was from some of the European attendees, it was a little bit too far, or they didn't want to go quite as far to attend DrupalCon that year, which totally makes sense. And so I think that I definitely don't think that we've peaked. I think it'll be interesting to see what effect D8 has. I think that we're just starting to see the effects of that trickle into the community, both the companies that are maybe sponsoring the con or choosing to send their employees to the con. And I think that'll just kind of continue to grow as those D8 projects just kind of hopefully explode over the next year or two.
And kind of off of that, even though the attendance numbers might be somewhat similar, the programming is definitely growing. A lot more people that maybe in San Francisco weren't really involved with Drupal or didn't feel like they could attend a DrupalCon are now attending DrupalCon in full force and looking for programming. So like this year we have a project management track, we have a PHP specific track, and we have a track called Horizons, which is about people that aren't even in Drupal, but what they're working on or they're working in other projects that affects Drupal, and it's something that we should be thinking about. So I think that in that sense, we are growing, and we're just trying to make sure that more voices are heard and we're able to speak and help more people that use Drupal.
Well, we also have more cons, right?
Well, yeah, there's the international, there's one North American, one European, and then there's Asia. The other one in Asia, or in, I know, I went to Bogota, which was awesome.
Australia a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we've done three cons for the past few years. As of now, the plan for 2017 is to just focus on the North American conference and the European conference. Mm-hmm. But it's been really great to be able to bring DrupalCon to those other areas where people may not be able to attend the North American or the European con. One of the coolest things to come out of DrupalCon Asia was that I think it was 82 or 84% of the attendees, that was their first DrupalCon, which was great. So we were able to bring DrupalCon to a community that was really hungry to have that event there.
So why is there not going to be a third DrupalCon? Is that financial or something else? Or
I think that the idea is that in 2017 we want to focus on kind of pumping up the North American con and the European con a little bit. So this just frees up our staff time to be able to focus on that.
So tell us what keeps you up at night. Like you every night you're waking up in a cold sweat and you're worrying about this, that, and the other. What are you worried about? What do you have memories about? Yeah, tell me.
I think the things that keep us up are probably the things that we can't predict. You know, we can plan around so many things, but, you know, for instance, like when the volcano erupted and that disrupted flight travel for a lot of conference goers, it's like, how can one predict that a volcano would choose to blow up? I think also, like, trying to figure out, like, what aspects of the con are going to be the most popular. We had a really great showing for our first-time attendee social in Los Angeles, which was fabulous.
Yeah.
But we had a smaller space planned because we didn't know how many people were going to show up. So we've taken that into account for this year.
Cool.
And, you know, sometimes, like for Amsterdam, we had, like, a really big registration burst in the last 2 weeks before the conference, which is great. But at that point, we'd already, you know, ordered all of our T-shirts and registration materials and things like that. So we kind of had to run back to the printers and get some more shirts made up. I don't know. Tina and Amanda, do you have things that keep you up at night?
I think the thing, I don't know if it keeps me up at night, but it does give me a mini heart attack before I send any sort of email. I'm terrified of mail merge, and I use it so often, so I should be really confident, but I'm always so scared I'm going to write a curse word or forget a token or something. So, actually, for DrupalCon New Orleans, I sent out the, hi, thanks for being a speaker, here's your code to register, and then I didn't put the code. So I definitely, that keeps me up at night, and it definitely should, because it seems like I still do things like that. So proof that Amanda should not send emails at 6 a.m. without coffee.
Email is evil. That's not your fault. We won't blame you for that one.
I noticed that. I thought it was hilarious. Your email subject said, "For realsies."
Someone wrote back and said, "Did you write this in invisible ink?" And I said, "Yes, I did." Thank you for knowing that.
That's awesome.
Is there anything that we've missed about the planning process and the putting on a conference? Things that are happening now that maybe you guys want to talk about a little bit?
Yeah, I think Tina could talk about this a little bit, but one of the things that's like so integral to making these DrupalCons happen is the big active role that volunteers play in the process. And Amanda spoke a little bit about how the program team is amazing and volunteers a ton of time to making sure that we have a great set of content for people on site. But we also have a lot of people that volunteer in the week or so up to the event, and then also on site at the event. And Tina works quite a bit with them.
Yeah, we really don't lie when we say that we couldn't put on a DrupalCon without our volunteers, because there's so many people that are involved and so many people that are working really hard and dedicating a lot of time to this. And the work starts way before we actually arrive on site. Like Amanda said, the program team is really slaving away long before anybody else. We also have amazing volunteers that help us with social media and marketing and other behind-the-scenes things that may not be quite as obvious. But really, everybody can help us out at DrupalCon New Orleans or any other DrupalCon on site. So, for example, if you arrive early and you have a little bit extra time and are looking for things to do, we're always looking for people to help us prepare at the convention center the weekend before. For example, stuffing our tote bags and badges, setting up rooms, putting out signage, all kinds of small production things that go on behind the scenes. And we definitely appreciate a lot of helping hands with that, because some of these tasks can be very time-consuming. It makes it so much faster if we have people that help us out with it. And even during the week, there are lots of volunteering opportunities. For example, you can sit and attend your favorite session and volunteer at the same time. It's really super simple. If you volunteer to be one of our room monitors, all you have to do is attend a session, make sure the presenter is in the room, everything runs on time, schedules on time, room is clean and tidy, attendees are happy and find their way around, and take headcount. That helps us tremendously determining which sessions are really popular, and we can get that feedback out to the speakers afterwards as well.
Tina, you said the word tote bags. I'm sorry to jump in, but you said the word tote bags, and I had flashbacks. So I was on the Denver team back when I lived in Colorado a couple of years ago, and I was one of the volunteer coordinators. It was Matthew Saunders and I were volunteer coordinators, and I wrangled a bunch of volunteers who came, and we all stuffed tote bags for an entire day. And man, that's a job that just doesn't end. But if you have a lot of volunteers, it goes a lot faster, doesn't it?
Totally. So we also have improved our process a little bit since Denver. So things don't take a whole day anymore, luckily.
Whoa.
But it still takes a lot of time. No, I wasn't trying to say that you guys were slow back then.
We probably were.
I'm trying to say that we worked out a
tote bag,
things to make
pick up a
things
sticker.
A little bit faster.
So what you're saying is they were slow back then.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But it probably doesn't matter what I'm saying right now. You're going to hold me to it. Maybe.
You'll get a special tote bag in New Orleans.
So I will vouch for the fact that volunteers are super important to putting DrupalCon on. So Tina, how can somebody volunteer?
Are.
How does that happen?
It's pretty simple. When you register for DrupalCon and get your ticket, there is a checkbox on the registration form that you can check. It says, please contact me closer to the event about volunteer opportunities. And we send out the volunteer schedule to all those people that check that box. It's a simple spreadsheet. It has all the shifts, all the times, and explains what's needed during each shift, so you can simply pick the ones that best fit your schedule and sign up for it, and then show up on site at the registration desk, come straight to me, I'll be there basically the entire time, and we'll make sure you have everything you need to get started on your task. And it's not just at the convention center. We also have really fun volunteer shifts. For example, one of my favorites is always Trivia Night, one of the best attended social events on Thursday nights. So, for example, you can be a Trivia Night judge and call it volunteering. So it's really super simple to get involved, and there should be something for everyone in everybody's schedule. So please sign up and help us out on site.
So if I'm already registered, can I go and edit my order and
yes, that box? Yes, you absolutely can.
Awesome. Thank you, Drupal.
You're welcome. Thank you for stuffing tote bags for us.
Thank you, Matt.
It's really easy. You pick up a sticker, you put it in a bag. You pick up another piece of paper, you put it in the bag. You just go all the
it's
way down
like
the
exercise,
table.
Yeah, but Drupal style.
Yeah, and then you repeat that 3,000 times.
Pretty much.
Exactly. No special skills or knowledge required. Anybody can do it.
And you get to hang out with your favorite Drupal friends.
And us.
Of course.
Favorite Drupal team.
Of course.
Right, you get to make new friends. That's the value of it right there, is making new friends.
Exactly.
So volunteers are completely integral to making DrupalCon happen, and so are sponsors. So tell me how sponsors tie into to DrupalCon.
Yeah, you know, I mean, truthfully, sponsors really do help fund the event. We have one of the lower ticket prices for a technology conference in the States, and a lot of that is due to the amazing financial support that we have from our sponsors. They really do offset about a little bit over a third of the cost of the event. So ticket revenue funds the rest of that, but because we're able to have the support of such great Drupal shops and, you know, systems integrators and hosting companies and all sorts of organizations, it really does help us keep the costs low, and that's really our goal, is to make sure that we keep the machine running as efficiently as possible.
The gumbo's cooking, the crawfish are boiling, strike up the band. We'll talk about New Orleans and what a DrupalCon attendee should expect when they get there, coming up right after this. Are you there? Hey, you're there now. Hey, we can talk. It's sales and marketing lead Andrew Wilson for Drupalize Me.
Hey, how's it going?
I wanted to tell you a story today.
Okay.
So back a few years ago, in my early days of Lullabot, Joe Schindelar and I went to a client training where we went to a client and we taught him Drupal. Down in the, we were in the financial district in Manhattan. And I was walking along the street. I was actually going to go meet some Drupal friends on the other side of town. And I was going to the subway and I said, hey, look, there's grass growing in Manhattan. This is crazy. And then I looked up and was like, oh, okay, because it's a cemetery. And then I looked again and it's the gravesite of former President Alexander Hamilton. Pretty exciting, right? It's like, wow, I didn't realize that I would have that experience walking through the streets of Manhattan. You know, Alexander Hamilton's on the $10 bill, right?
Okay.
Drupalize Me, gonna save me 10 bucks.
Yes! Wow, that was a roundabout way to get there. Yeah, we are having a little sale right now. It's off your monthly personal membership, but the key there is that it's $10 forever. So sign up today, and every time your membership renews, you're going to save that 10 bucks.
That's a lot of Alexander Hamiltons.
That's a lot of Alexander Hamiltons.
First of all, how do you do it? What's the code? What's the secret?
The secret code is SAVE, S-A-V-E, 10. Save 10. You can find it on our blog as well.
I know that Drupalize Me has been putting out a lot of Drupal 8 content. The new theming series has started to come out, and there will be more of that theming series coming soon.
Definitely. We're going to complete or work to complete that guide. It's a big one. There's a lot of tutorials in there. And then next up is probably migrate. We're going to help you get your site from Drupal 6 or Drupal 7 or wherever it exists into Drupal 8.
Drupalize Me is the premier Drupal training website anywhere. True? I mean, that's what I think.
I agree. I think you butchered our little slogan there.
Oh,
but
tell me what it is.
You get the idea.
What's the slogan then?
We've got the most Drupal tutorials anywhere.
Awesome. So if somebody wanted to learn something about Drupal, drupalize.me is the website.
You got it.
Save 10 is a coupon code you can use when you're signing up for your new personal membership and save 10 bucks for forever.
Exactly. And if you just purchased a full price membership, you can go to your account dashboard, enter that coupon code, and you'll still save 10 bucks. We are equal opportunity here.
Outstanding. So former president, former secretary of the treasurer, Alexander Hamilton would be proud.
Yes, definitely.
Is there anything else you should talk about?
No, what do you got going on? What's on your what's on the podcast today?
We're talking about DrupalCon. Drupalize.me is going to be at DrupalCon, yeah?
We will. The whole team will be there.
Joe will be talking. Amber will be talking, right? They'll have sessions at DrupalCon. That's exciting.
Definitely, yeah. Trainers have sessions. We'll be walking around. We'll be working at the sprints. There's some documentation sprints going on that we like to partake in and help contribute back to the Drupal community. I hope to see a lot of people there.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, welcome back. And we're talking about DrupalCon. And DrupalCon is in New Orleans this year. And with us from New Orleans, we have Eric and Sabrina Schmidt. Tell us about New Orleans.
It's a great place to be.
Yeah, I hear it's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, we're wrapping up. Mardi Gras is always the week before Lent starts. So we're finally recovering from Mardi Gras since Lent's almost over. Takes a while.
New Orleans likes to claim Mardi Gras, but isn't that a Mobile, Alabama thing?
Hey, now. Them's fighting words.
So where is the convention center in reference to other cool things in the city? Is it right in the middle of things, or are we going to have to drive 20 miles out of town to go to the conference?
Well, it's downtown, so you're probably about a 20-minute walk to the French Quarter, I would say, from the convention center, and then you'll be in the warehouse and arts district is where the convention center is located. So there's some really cool art museums there, nice nightlife, cool bars, some music places there. So it'll be a nice little location.
What's the best place to get lunch at from the convention center?
From the convention? Lord, yeah. There's so many. We have some 1,500 or 2,000 restaurants here now.
Yeah,
so
something within walking distance, you know, where I can get like a really awesome po' boy or I don't know, whatever other Cajun food. Anything that you can recommend or just kind of look it up?
Close by, let's see, there is a place called, there's a nice little seafood restaurant downtown. I can't think of the name of it right now off the top of my head. What's the Grand Isle. Grand Isle is good. If you want to get some seafood, then Emeralds, of course, but that's high dollar kind of stuff. There's a vegan restaurant called Carmo. That's if you're into that sort of vegan-y stuff, that's really good. Po' boys, I don't know if anything really that close. Most, you know, the interesting thing about New Orleans is these. There are a lot of corner stores that have great food. There's a place called Lucy's that has a good po' boy that's close by. Anything else, Sabrina? What am I missing?
Mother's,
yes. Mother's is a New Orleans staple, walking distance.
So what is Mother's? Is that a restaurant or a bar or a store or what?
It's a restaurant. It's been there forever. It's really known, well, I say it's known for. I love they have a great gumbo there. It's a chicken and andouille filet gumbo. There's a couple different types of gumbos. One is made with filet, which is like a thickening agent. So Mother's has, and it's also known for their ham, oddly enough. But yeah, Mother's is a kind of a staple restaurant.
All New Orleans food. You can get red beans and jambalaya and po' boys.
So
essentially, you're just going to eat the whole time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Honestly, I love Cajun food. So for people who are not familiar with Cajun food, especially for those coming in from out of the country, tell us about, you know, jambalaya. What's jambalaya? What's gumbo? What the hell? It's a crawfish.
And the first thing I'll say is New Orleans food is not technically Cajun.
Okay.
We are Creole, which is sort of a West African French and Spanish mixture of foods. Cajun, there is Cajun food in New Orleans, and there's sort of a mishmash of Cajun and Creole food. But technically, the Cajuns are from Acadian. They got kicked out of Nova Scotia and came down the Mississippi River and ended up around the Lafayette area, what we call the Acadian or the Atchafalaya Basin. So their food is a lot more spicy. New Orleans food is more, there is Cajun again, but we have things like the jambalaya is a rice dish that's West African. influence. So usually sort of rice with tomato and some sort of meat, sausage, or could be chicken, and that's a big rice dish. Now, a gumbo. Now, one interesting thing about New Orleans is we have, like, food days. Like, Monday is red beans and rice. So
really?
We pretty much serve red beans and rice on a Monday.
Now, the folks from the DA, do you guys have this all scheduled with the lunches, with the catered lunches and stuff?
We do have catered lunches. I will say there will be definitely some local flavor at the opening night reception. I believe we taste tested some gator corn dogs and some other things that may or may
that's
not
real.
Be there.
That's a real thing.
That yeah. sounds like a rough job. You got to taste test gator corn dogs.
We did it.
And,
we should live here.
And we need to fly down to New Orleans again just to make sure that we're in a good location, you know, and food and yeah.
Just one more trip, yeah.
Is it going to be crawfish season?
It will be crawfish. Actually, yeah, crawfish season is early this year, and we have some beautiful crawfish. They're usually very expensive during Lent because New Orleans is actually a big Catholic community, so during Lent you're not supposed to eat meat on Friday, so they jack the price of crawfish up. But they usually come down in price after Lent. So it's been a warm winter, so we'll have a great crawfish season, actually.
Pinch the tail, suck the brains?
Pinch the tail, suck the head. They are a little crustacean that lives in ditches around here. You can actually go catch them yourself with little nets. And, yes, it looks a lot like an insect.
It's a little lobster.
Yes, yeah. Yes, very good. Yes, a little small lobster.
But, you know, like the size of you, smaller than, I mean, your hand maybe, right? Smaller than your hand maybe.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, smaller than your hand. And then the other thing, you know, crawfish is one of the seafoods we have. I mean, we have delicious crabs. Louisiana shrimp are unbelievable. And so, yes, you should, the turtle soup, we eat turtles too. There's a joke that said, if Tarzan and Jane were Cajuns, what would that make Cheetah? Lunch. You know, we eat everything. If it moves, we eat it. So great food down, you know, that's the selling point more than anything. The food here is unbelievable. But like I said, Monday is red beans and rice. Friday is gumbo, because what gumbo is, you take all of your leftovers from the week, you make a roux, which is like a brown gravy sauce with blackening flour and oil, and you add everything into it and make a gumbo. So a gumbo can be made with seafood, can be made with fish, can be made with, which is seafood, it could be made with meat products or none at all. There's even a green gumbo that's all vegetable.
So a couple of the DrupalCons in my past I've gone to, and I end up not leaving, like, I don't know, a square mile around the convention center. It sounds like I should get out and see things.
Yes.
Use your evenings wisely. Go see some music and eat something good.
Yeah, and we have all these great neighborhoods. So you have, we'll be down in the Warehouse Arts District. You have the French Quarter, which is another section, the old, you know, we have the oldest operating bar in the United States called the Lafitte.
I mean, the French Quarter is a mile from the convention center. Jackson Square is a mile from the convention center. So it's walking distance, or you can take an Uber.
Yes.
So you have Uber, right? You do have Uber.
We do have Uber.
Yes.
Nice.
Uber and Lyft.
Both.
Oh, gosh.
We're progressive down here. See? It's not all drinking. The bars do not close, however, so we don't have that 2 o'clock curfew thing.
Now, my understanding is also there's no open container law there, correct? So you can carry your drinks in the street.
Yes, you can order a drink to go. We even have drive-through daiquiri shops.
Oh my God.
That sounds so dangerous.
Well, we wonder why our insurance rates are so high. I can't imagine.
That's just a bad idea. So the French Quarter is where Bourbon Street is, correct?
Yes, yes.
And everybody, I have not yet been to New Orleans, but everybody that has told me about Bourbon Street is you're supposed to kind of wear shoes that you don't like because they get kind of all nasty. Is that right, or is that kind of overblown?
That's possible.
Yes, it's been a lot cleaner since Katrina. One thing they did clean up things afterwards. But yes, it's the French Quarter. Yeah, the Bourbon Street can be not the cleanest. You don't want to drop your sandwich and pick it up and eat it. You know what I mean? No dropping your po-boy on Bourbon Street.
So you don't have the 10-second rule.
No. Not even a micro second.
Yeah, you have like the instead of the 10-second rule, you have the 2 feet rule.
Right.
So, what other neighborhoods or districts are in New Orleans that we should know about?
So, if you're going downriver, we associate everything with the river and the lake. We have the Mississippi River and the Lake Pontchartrain. So, and we don't really use north, south, east, and west because of the way the river winds around. So if you're going downriver, there's what they call the Fallberg Marigny, the Marigny district that has a wonderful street called Frenchman Street with a lot of fantastic music. And then we have the Bywater area that is become sort of a hipster. A lot of restaurants are popping up there, sort of a rebirth of that neighborhood. So, and then if you head upriver, then you go into what they call the Garden District, which has beautiful homes, also great food. There's a restaurant there which is probably one of the best restaurants both in taste and price called Commander's Palace. So then you're heading uptown. You can get around the Irish Channel where they have, you know, great Irish bars and food there. Keep going and you'll end up uptown around the university area. Magazine Street has great shops and food. We also have a world-class zoo, so if you're bringing your family, you can come and bring them to the zoo. We have an aquarium and an insectarium, which is close to the convention, actually. You can walk there.
Insectarium?
Yes.
So that's obviously insects, I would assume, correct?
Yes. You can.
That sounds pretty cool.
Bug cookies and stuff. And then when you get uptown, you're in what they call around Audubon Park. That's where the Audubon Zoo is. That's where Tulane and some huge homes on St. Charles Avenue. And then you keep on going to Carrollton area. There's some great music places over there. A wonderful restaurant called Giacomo's, which is really good Creole cooking. So, and then you can go out to City Park, where you can... that's sort of heading towards the lake from the convention center. There you can rent kayaks and paddle boards and go on the bayous, Bayou St. John and that area. Again, great food around there. The racetrack, which I don't know if the fairgrounds is running this time of year. But there's some, so that's then you're heading, and then you can go out to the lake where you can rent sailboats and eat great seafood that's out on the water.
All right, now that's Lake Pontchartrain, correct?
Yes, yes. Okay.
Nice pronunciation. That was great pronunciation. I seem to struggle with the words in New Orleans.
I don't have any explanation for my pronunciation.
Very good.
The fact that I'm getting it correct is completely wild.
Yes, we have a lot of Indian words, like Chapatulas is the name of a street. That when you see it, you will go, how do you pronounce that? Like T-C-H... O-U-P-I-T-O-U-L-A-S.
Is that what you use when you're drinking at the water fountain instead of Mississippi's?
Yeah, the Chapatulas.
So tell us about the music. You know, I believe that New Orleans is famous for jazz and blues and probably lots of other genres. What should we be looking for? Where should we go? Any other tips?
So music, again, Frenchman Street has great music clubs. There is a place called the Preservation Jazz Hall, which is traditional jazz music. There are some music clubs uptown. There's one close to the convention center. The Howling Wolf is a nice little venue. That's literally probably two blocks from the convention, like mm-hmm. right outside is... So there's we have a great radio station called WWOZ. So if you go to WWOZ.org, which I think is a Drupal site, they have what they call the live wire. So every odd hour on the 8th, like 108 or 308, they give you the list of music for the night, and it literally goes on for minutes of how many clubs and different little places that are playing music. So the OZ Livewire is the best place to look and see.
Yeah, I'm excited about seeing some good music.
Plenty of great food, plenty of great music, plenty of really cool culture. You don't have to work very hard, although you're doing a very good job of selling New Orleans as a great destination for DrupalCon. Tell me about the Drupal community in New Orleans. That's something that I wasn't aware was, you know, a big deal. What do you have going on down there?
Oh, well, we've been running a Drupal meetup since 2010. Well, this would have been our third Drupal camp year, but we got a DrupalCon. So not the largest community, but we're all very dedicated, and we meet. We've pretty much met every month since 2010. It's a great open community. We have a lot of universities and different, like I said, WWOZ has a Drupal site, and there's a few Drupal sites around here. So it's growing, but we pretty much have a steady, small core group of people.
Awesome. What's your role been? I know that you guys have been around announcing DrupalCon New Orleans at all of the other conferences as well, starting with LA and then in Europe, right?
Yes.
What else have you been doing as far as the coming up to DrupalCon?
Coming up to DrupalCon, we've taken Amanda around and showed her around the city. That was really
tough job, real tough job.
Oh yeah.
You know, that was the hardest job we had, I think, hanging out in New Orleans. we've been writing some blog posts and putting together, helping coordinate with the local community to see what jobs they can do, trying to coordinate volunteers for them, getting help, you know, track chairs and that, working with the association. We've been getting a lot of calls, people looking for venues. We're going to work on some print work for the catalog, for the program. So, yeah, we try to be involved as much as we can.
They're definitely making sure that the con has a local flair. So, obviously, whenever we do a DrupalCon, when we go into a different city, there are things that we just don't know, and we're aware of that. So we want to make sure that the local community has their chance to put their stamp on it. So Eric and Sabrina have been really instrumental in helping us do that.
So what are we doing differently for this DrupalCon compared to Los Angeles, Austin, and going back?
We're going to New Orleans.
Yeah, I think the other big change for this year compared to previous years is we have Drupal 8 finally, which is so exciting. You know, we've been talking about it for a while, and it's just really, really thrilling to see Drupal 8 kind of percolating throughout the sessions and the trainings and summits. So that's one thing that's going to be very new for this DrupalCon. We also have a couple new tracks. So we have a PHP track, and we have a Horizons track, which is kind of talking about communities and projects that may be adjacent to Drupal. And we're also doing some more sessions around project management, which is great. And we have two new summits for DrupalCon New Orleans. So we've got a government summit, and we're doing a media and publishing summit. So it's a really cool opportunity for people to come in and connect with their peers and really kind of do some knowledge sharing that way.
Tell me about the summits. I've been to several DrupalCons. I don't know anything about summits.
Yeah, so the summits are basically all day Monday. So they run from about 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. And it's the way they've kind of been structured is a little bit more focused on industry or commonality. Like we have a business summit that's kind of like the C-suite level. And so it's kind of really talking about shared pain points or best practices, things that are a little bit more outside of the job title and more about the industry. So last year we launched the Higher Ed Summit, that was one of those things that we couldn't predict that was like extremely popular, and so we sold that out pretty quickly, and actually I think we just sold out the Higher Ed Summit for New Orleans, which is great. But it's focused about sharing knowledge, really, and connecting people that have a common common industry and what they're doing.
So Amanda, Tina, Rachel, y'all have been to New Orleans.
I haven't, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
No fun,
I'm
Tina.
I'm really, really looking forward to it. That's actually one of the things I'm looking forward to most is finally experiencing it myself and checking out all the cool things that we just heard about from Eric and Sabrina.
I have been to New Orleans, and I definitely echo what Eric and Sabrina said there. I think that's what I'm most looking forward to. I've only been once, but when we were there, they definitely played amazing hosts, and I know that the whole community is going to echo that when everyone is in New Orleans, and it's just fun to have a whole day of Drupal, and then there's so many things that you can be doing after, and so I'm just really excited for the community to get to experience that.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
So after New Orleans, where are we going?
Yeah.
Now, what do we have to tell you?
Now, Matt promises to bleep this out so you can...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We won't broadcast 100%. It. Just go ahead and say it.
It's
totally cool.
Off the record.
I've tried to poke, prodle. The secret is safe until the closing session. So you'll have to come to the closing session in DrupalCon New Orleans to find out.
How about if we name cities and you kind of...
blink once for yes, blink twice for no.
Okay, I'll blink.
We don't have our video on. This will be very accurate.
Las Vegas.
Blink, 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 blink.
Atlanta. Washington, D.C.
Nice try.
My bet is Philadelphia.
Oh,
okay.
Right,
I wonder what city people think it'll come to.
It could also be Boston again.
It could be a lot of places.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should just keep it in New Orleans.
There we go.
I might be down for that after this one, too. That'd be kind of cool.
We'll see if you survive first.
So, Rachel, do you have any final thoughts?
No, just that I'm really thrilled that we were able to bring DrupalCon to New Orleans. I think the city is going to be a really great fit for the Drupal community. It's so unique, and there's so much culture and history and great food and music there that I think everybody's going to have a really great time outside of the conference. And I'm really excited about the programming that we have for the conference. I think we had, by and large, the most amount of sessions submitted for this DrupalCon, and I think there's just a real energy and passion within the community right now that I'm just really excited to see that all come together. So I personally cannot wait for the con to start.
Amanda, tell me about that programming. Any other final thoughts?
No, it's definitely what Rachel said. There was so many sessions that were submitted, and it definitely made it hard for the program team, but we really have the creme de la creme to show that I speak a little French and can kind of survive in New Orleans. No, but I think that the programming is going to be really exciting, and there's a lot of new perspectives that maybe we haven't seen at DrupalCon before, so I'm really thankful to the volunteers who put in so much time and effort to make sure that we have those voices and words at DrupalCon.
And you lead so well into Tina, so people should volunteer. Do you have anything else you have to add?
Yeah, I'll see all of you for tote bag stuffing, I assume, right? So really looking forward to that. It's going to be so fast this year. It's going to be unbelievable. But yes, already thanks in advance to everyone who will come and help us out on site. And we're looking forward to seeing all of you there.
Tina would also like to personally thank the 7 people who emailed her that you told about to contact
her. I should totally check that right now and see if I already... Nope. Still waiting for my 7 people to email me.
We're not doing it live yet, but I'm totally going to do it afterwards.
So, Eric and Sabrina, laissez bon temps rouler?
That's right. Laissez les bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. It should be a great time. Like I said, we're really excited. I've been pushing for a DrupalCon New Orleans since D.C. I'm like, we got to go to New Orleans. My dream has come true.
Awesome.
Yes, we look forward to sharing our city with everyone in the Drupal community.
Well, we're looking forward to it, too. Thanks for being on the podcast and dropping your knowledge, and I'll see everybody in New Orleans.
Thanks so much for having us.
Mike, you and I will both be there. We get to hang out at the Lullabot booth. Right?
Yes, how did we fail to mention that? Yeah, we'll totally be at the Lullabot booth. I'll also be presenting there. So I'm like Matt here. I got my session accepted. Thank you, guys.
What are you going to be talking about, Mike?
I'm going to be talking about browser-based developer tools, which is mostly Chrome dev tools. I'm also going to throw some cool tips and tricks on doing some remote debugging with iOS and just a lot of cool stuff.
Très bon, mon ami.
What?
Just kidding. Have a great day. Thank you guys very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.